Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, happy Easter. I woke up this morning and I began to scroll through social media. I began to look and see how different members of our church, different friends and families from not just locally but around the state and globe, I began to read people's response to the resurrection. A lot of He is risen's, a lot of celebration text, a lot of sunrise services and sunrise pictures, a lot of families rejoicing, a lot of expectation. A lot of people went out shopping this weekend. I know I did last night to find the perfect green shirt to match the green dresses of my daughters because I'm a girl dad, and that's what we do, right? A lot of anticipation, expectation, celebration about today. But how many understand the first Resurrection Sunday did not start that way? People were not waking up on Resurrection Sunday thinking, this is going to be good. This is going to be an awesome day. Most people woke up, as a matter of fact, if social media existed in the day of Jesus, if they had newspapers in those days, I'm not sure they did, they had headlines in them, the headlines for that weekend, even for that early morning, could have been something like this: Jesus, Messiah, no longer. Disciples, disband. Jesus, hashtag, major letdown. Christ's followers, missing in action. Or maybe it would just be simple and say, hashtag, could not save himself. That is the context of the first Resurrection Sunday. Friday evening, Saturday, and the early hours of Sunday morning was as dark as it gets for Jesus' followers, for people who believed He was the Messiah. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 22, Jesus said in verse number 53, He said, "Was I not with you in the courts teaching daily? But you never laid a hand on me. But this is your hour." And these last few words kind of surmise what was going on during Jesus' crucifixion and the attitude of people's hearts. Jesus said, "But this is the hour when darkness reigns." Darkness seemed to be reigning on the night of Jesus' death, during the day on Saturday, and perhaps even when we begin to read our text in a few moments, darkness seemed to be the feeling of the day. Peter has denied Jesus. Judas has betrayed Jesus. Others are running from Jesus. Soldiers have been mocking Jesus. Pharisees falsely accusing Jesus. Rulers refusing justice to Jesus. Dark hours is the context of Easter. How many are glad you came to church this morning, right? The Easter did not start with glory. It did not start with fanfare. It did not start with excitement. It did not start with expectation at all. It started with darkness and mystery. And maybe that defines the context of your life this morning. If I were to ask you to put into context for me the last 7 hours, the last 7 days, or the last 7 months, there's some of you that may be saying, this is the hour when darkness reigns. This is an hour, maybe sickness has caused darkness to reign over your life. Maybe relational difficulties in your marriage has caused darkness to reign in your life. Maybe grief over a loved one has caused darkness to reign in your life. All these things and more is the context of the first resurrection. Our scripture even starts just before sunrise, early in the morning, everything was dark. But I want to give you my message in a nutshell this morning. If your life is defined by darkness, can I tell you, you can begin again because the resurrection is here. Jesus is here. The things that have been dead can come to life again. You can begin again because of the resurrection of Jesus. When the Sabbath was over, Mark 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Let me just take a time out. Are you seeing what I just said? They were not expecting the stone to be rolled away. They were not going to seek a live Jesus. Who's going to roll the stone? They're bringing ointments for anointing the body for permanent burial, not a resurrection. Sometimes the best word in the Bible are little ones. And here's a little one that's so important. Here, you ready for it? If you're ready, say, "I'm ready." But. Right? But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. I'm praying for you this morning that if you're in a dark hour, that God will roll the stone away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Father, we love you. And I just thank you for every person in the room today. I'm thankful for those who are connecting with us online or perhaps listening to a podcast weeks or months from now of this service. I pray that no matter where they are, that God, the Word of God will work in this moment. Work in them, work in me. Help me today to speak above my own ability the words of God and the words of God alone. Anoint us to hear and respond to what the Word of God and the Spirit of God would say to us this moment so that our life can be changed by the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. The resurrection of Jesus was the most shocking, unexpected event in history. Not one person... Not one is found at the tomb on Easter morning expecting to encounter a risen Savior. No one was cheered with expectation about today being the day. How many know that just in a few days from now, about a week from tomorrow, they are saying there will be 1.5 million people that are going to flood into Central Arkansas from around the world. The word is on the street is if you want to buy groceries, you better buy them before this weekend because they're expecting temporary shortages of bread and milk and the other things you buy when you're freaked out. Why are people coming to our house? Why are they booking campsites and motels? Why are they driving from the ends of the earth to get to Arkansas? It's because they believe that there's going to be an event. They believe that there's going to be a total solar eclipse, and they're coming here because we are God's favorite people, and He's chose to make our location the best viewing point. What else do we get to brag about? We don't have football, we don't have basketball, but we got an eclipse, by George. How do I know that they believe that this is a great place to see it? We'll know it by their presence. How do we know that no one expected the resurrection to occur? By their presence, or maybe I should say, their absence of presence. If I told you tomorrow morning you can go to the tomb and be there when the stone rolls away, I would be there. But Jesus had predicted it and no one was there. No one is getting around the tomb to witness the resurrection. Zero expectation. Despite the fact that Jesus had said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. Despite Jesus has said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man must also be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Even though he had predicted his death and his resurrection, all hope seemed lost. No one expected anything to change. But how many know things did change? When all hope was lost, it was actually time to begin again. And today, if hope is missing from your life, I just came to tell you on this Easter Sunday morning, it's time to begin again. And when Jesus comes forth from the grave, one of the first messages he communicates is he begins to communicate about healing and restoring broken relationships. Because one of the first things he says is, go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter is I'm not trying to hurt his feelings or yours if your name is Peter today, but Peter was a failed disciple. And that term kind of resonates with me because I know what it's like to be a failed disciple. Are there any failed disciples at times in the room today? But Jesus asked for this failed disciple by name. He let Peter know that though you failed, it's time to begin again. Peter had been a devoted disciple of Jesus for years. But when the rubber met the road, when the pressure came, Peter caved. And I'm not saying that out of condemnation. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the t-shirt. Peter could have believed that his failure was final because he so ardently, in Luke chapter 22, denied that it would ever happen. Jesus told him, listen, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Jesus desired Peter to be restored. I want to ask you a question this morning. I don't know if you've considered it yet. You might want to write this down in your notes and just ponder it for the next 24 hours or more. How would my life be different if Jesus hadn't risen? Did you know in 2024, each of our lives would be severely altered if Jesus hadn't risen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us some realities that would be true of our life if Christ hasn't risen. It says our faith would be futile. Our sins would still be ours. Our life would have no hope beyond this life. There would be no guarantee of our sins forgiven. Our life would be void of eternal purpose. Life was allowed to begin again because of the resurrection. So I want to talk to you this morning. How can we take full advantage of the resurrection? How can we begin again? Because Jesus is calling each of us to begin again. If you've blown it like Peter, he's calling you to begin again. If your relationship with Jesus seems severed, he's calling you to begin again. If there's another relationship in your life that feels like it is just imploded, he's challenging us, empowering you to begin again. So how do I begin again when my life seems broken? Here's the first thing you got to do, is you got to remember that your Savior is stronger than your enemy. Luke 22, Jesus said this. He said, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. How many understand that when there is someone asking for permission, that the moment they ask for permission, they are admitting that they are not in control? that they are asking a greater authority. I've got a 9-year-old daughter and I've got a 6-year-old daughter, and I don't go ask them permission for what I'm going to do in my house. Right? Some of you are like, no, I do. Don't know. In my house, it might be the only place on the planet, but in my house, I at least am in charge at this point in my life with those two girls. They ask me. There's a struggle going on in Peter's life. You get this? The enemy is asking to destroy Peter's life, to sift him out like wheat, out of God's kingdom, out of God's hands. Satan is asking the Lord to do this. There's a struggle, a spiritual struggle that's going on, and Peter seems oblivious to it. When Jesus tells him this struggle is going on, Peter's like, Lord, I would never deny you. I would never turn my back from you. I would never fail you. Though everyone else does, not me. He's oblivious to the fact that the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy his life. Sometimes I wonder, have we forgotten that we have an enemy that's out to kill and destroy? But the resurrection reminds us of something, that though I have an enemy and I have a Savior, the two are not equal. There are too many people that believe that they grew up with the concept of Saturday morning cartoons, where you had an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, and they thought both sides were equal. Can I tell you, the kingdom of Jesus in the kingdom of darkness is not equal. The resurrection proved that our Savior is greater than our enemy, that death and hell has been defeated. The enemy is not more powerful than our God. But at times, he does seem more powerful than me. Why? Because sometimes he makes evil look good to me. He wraps destruction in tempting packages. He casts doubt on God's word. He makes me question things I know to be true. He's a master of deception. The resurrection convinced all of Jesus' followers and even his mother that hope was lost, that this thing was over. But can I tell you, that was not true. The Savior was still stronger than an enemy. I don't care what's happened in your life today, you can begin again because your Savior is stronger than your enemy. Amen? Christ is risen. The resurrection proves that the Savior is greater than our enemy. We don't have to be mastered by our sin. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says we no longer have to live controlled by our sinful nature, but instead the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can live in us. You don't have to be mastered by your sin. I am a people watcher. Do you ever go people watching? Last night, we were out shopping. Grandparents had the kids, so Megan and I were by ourselves. And I was looking for a new Easter shirt. Megan was looking for a new Easter shirt. And, you know, we like to wait till the last minute. So here we are at 8 o'clock at the department store last night. I don't know if I'm supposed to give this information out, but here we are. And we both walked in at the same time. It took me an extraordinarily long time to find this shirt I'm wearing today. Extraordinarily long time, like probably 10 minutes. It took a long time. So after I took an extremely long time to find this shirt, I went upstairs to the ladies section to find Megan, and believe it or not, she was having a hard time too. So I went back downstairs to wait. It's not good, husbands. It's not good to wait beside them. This is worth the price of admission right here. When you're shopping with your wife and you're done, go wait somewhere else. This is not in my notes. This is, God knew you needed to hear this. You can, don't do that. Go somewhere else. And so I went somewhere else. I went downstairs, found a nice, comfortable seat, and begin to watch people. And people are worth watching. I mean, all different kinds of things. I met people. Someone came and asked me if I knew where his family went. I mean, I was helpful. It was wonderful. And I've been watching some of you. And some of you walked in this morning, and when you walked in the door, you made a beeline for that coffee pot. And I could almost sense that you were in a moment of prayer, that when you pumped, that the person in front of you did not take the last drop. Others of you, you could not wait for the coffee this morning. You walked in with energy drinks and 3-hour energy shots, and you were... I'm just saying that some of us have come to the conclusion that every morning we need more power than we have ourselves, right? Can I tell you, you can begin again because God offers us more power than we have ourselves. The resurrection reminds us that you can operate with a greater power than yourself. Number two this morning, you can begin again because Jesus' love for you is greater than your sin. Look at verse number 32. I got to read it to you. I know you can see it on the board. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Before Peter falls, Jesus tells him, when you've turned back. He didn't say, Peter, if I choose to forgive you, then I've got something for you. He doesn't say, if you do enough good things, we'll talk about it. No, no, he says, before he falls, he says, when you've turned around, Jesus declares right up front, Peter, you're going to blow it, but I'm going to cover it. Can I tell you, the resurrection reminds me that though I'm going to blow it, Jesus is going to cover it. Well, does that mean that Jesus planned Peter's fall? No. What it means is Jesus had plans beyond Peter's fall. And can I tell you this morning, if life has dealt you a sorry hand lately, or maybe you've just made some horrible choices yourself lately, and you feel like the whole world is on top of you, sometimes we ask God, why are you doing this to me, when God has nothing to do with it at all? But can I tell you, no matter how you found yourself in the dark place you are, God has plans beyond your fall this morning. God demonstrates His love for us in Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter's great sin did not stop God's great love. Your sin cannot remove God's love from you. But God's love can remove the stain of sin from you if you'll give it to Him. Don't get me wrong. Don't go home and say, well, Pastor says the love of God excuses my sin. That's not what I said. Sin is still sin. God's love does not change sin. Love how you're preaching on Easter Sunday morning. Thank you so much for saying that. It really helps me. God's love does not change sin. I feel like I need to say that 17 more times, so can you just give me credit for it? Right? God's love does not change sin. Sin is sin. But here's what God's love does. It doesn't excuse our sin, but it removes our sin when we come to Him. God can't remove our sin as long as we excuse it. But the minute we stop excusing it and bring it to Him, He removes it from us. The grace of God is greater than all of our sin. If you felt stuck in sin, I know that's how Peter had to feel. I want to ask you to pay attention to the spoken words. Phoenix is coming right now. Pay attention to the spoken word this morning because God's love is greater than your sin.
I don't understand why you still want me. I don't understand how you can even be here with me. If I was you, I wouldn't even be able to look at myself. I have ran away from you so many times. My walk is not even close to the way you have called me to live. I sin over and over again. I curse your name. I blame you for everything wrong in my life, but yet you are still here. Why? Because you love me? There is no way you could love me anymore. I don't even love myself. I wake up every morning and I can't even look in the mirror. I'm covered by darkness, shame, and dragged down by my chains. It wasn't always like this. I used to sing your praises every day of my life. I was so involved in church as a kid. I never even thought about doing the things that I am doing now. I was so hopeful and joyful when I was young. I chased after you and your heart. I got baptized. I told anyone I could about you. Your goodness and your light shined through me. I can't even tell you a change because I don't even know. I guess I grew up. I started to care what people thought about me. I just wanted to be accepted. I just wanted to fit in. But now, I don't even care what others think, and I am still sinning. You can't want me anymore. It's too late. I am too far gone. And yet, you are still here. Why haven't you left? I just gave you every reason to get up and walk away from me like I have done to you so many times. But you stay. I don't get it. Make it make sense, Lord. I don't need this false hope that I can ever come back. Even if I wanted to, would you be able to look past all of my sin? How would I begin again? He took my hand and said, "Begin again? That's why I'm here. My child, have I not called you? Have I not watched over you all the days of your life? I have, haven't I? I watched you in your suffering. I sat with you in those moments of pain. I held you in my arms every night you cried out to me. I was there with you through it all. I will leave the 99 over and over again to find you, for you will never be too far gone from me. And if that is not convincing enough, have I not given my only son for you? I took your sin when he took his last breath on that cross. I have forgiven you already, my child, for I am all you need and more. And if the world starts to hate you, know it hated me first, for you were never meant to be a part of this world. Come back to me, for I know you better than you know yourself. It is not the end for you. You can still begin again."
And that is true for you this morning. Just as Peter was called to begin again, the Savior's love is greater than his sin. The Savior's love for you is greater than your sin. But can I tell you, God doesn't just love you. He doesn't just want to love you through your sin and beyond your sin. He wants to redeem you. I don't know if we use that word very much. Jesus' first order of business was to redeem and restore Peter. He called him by name. I think he called him by name because if he hadn't called him by name, when the message came to Peter, hey, Jesus said, get the disciples and come, Peter could have very easily thought, well, he meant the other 10 guys, not me. I'm out. But instead, he called him by name. Redemption simply means to be bought out of bondage and set free. See, Jesus doesn't just want to love you in your sin, though he does. He wants to bring you out and set you free. Romans chapter 4 says this, "He was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life so that we could be justified." 2 Corinthians says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. All the old things are gone, and behold, the new has come." Can I tell you, sometimes we get this wrong, friends. Sometimes we think that Jesus came to make us once what we once were. But Jesus did not come to make you what you once were. He came that you could be better than you've ever been before. A brand new creation is what he came to do this morning. You know, the resurrected body of Jesus was different than any other resurrected body we see in Scripture. Right? Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and then Jesus rose him from the dead. But that body was different. People hugged him, gave him a high five, and eventually he died again. The little girl who had died, she came to life when Jesus showed up to her funeral. But as far as we know, she died again someday. But Jesus' body was different. It was so different, for a while he would not even let people touch him, because it was a transformation going on. It was a brand new body, and someday our body will be like that body. But I got to tell you right now, in the spirit, we're not, it's not that God has put us back to like we were. We are a brand new creature in Him. This is more than a continuation of your old life. It's a new beginning. He does not make things as they once were. He makes them better than ever before. See, if Jesus would have just made Peter like he was before, let's be honest. The Peter before wasn't that great. The Peter before, his mouth got him in trouble. The Peter before, he ran from danger. The Peter before, he was often quick to act and slow to think sometimes. He would cower in front of a Girl Scout. But the Peter after the resurrection was different. He would stand alone, or he would stand in crowds. He would physically, literally be martyred for the cause of Christ rather than give up his faith in Jesus. He was different. He began again, and so can you. Because, number four, Megan, if you want to come, you can begin again because Jesus desires to use you again. Jesus told Peter from the get-go, "You're going to blow it, Peter, but I've prayed for you, and you're going to turn back, and when you do, I want you to strengthen your brothers. I want to use you again." Can I tell you this morning, Jesus wants to use you again. The resurrection has a meaning of restored relationship, but it also has a meaning of restored purpose. I know we live in a throwaway generation. There's two kind of people in the room, and I love both kinds, so don't be nervous. There are iPhone people, and then there's the rest of y'all. Jesus loves all of us, and I do too. I'm still an Apple guy. I think this is a 13. I started with it didn't even have a number. It's just a phone, Apple. It's just a phone. But every few years, they update them, and these things become obsolete. And as much as I have loved all my iPhones, I don't have a single one except for this one. Because once it's messed up, you know, give it to the kid to play with in the nursery or something. I don't need it. We throw it away. We use it. It becomes broken, outdated, and we get rid of it. But the resurrection, though Peter was broken, God says, "I'm not going to discard you. I'm going to use you again. Because your failure is no obstacle for God's grace." Peter exited the resurrection with not just a restored relationship, but a restored purpose for living. And Jesus always does this. He does not just set us free. He sets us loose on a new mission. He gives us something greater to live for than just ourselves. It's so easy to come to Easter service, be thankful that God set us free from our sins, be thankful that God has set us free from our past, be thankful that we're right with God. But if we miss this last piece, where Jesus said, "Now, Peter, strengthen your brothers." Jesus was telling Peter, "I didn't just set you free from your past. I've set you on a course to make a difference. Begin again making a difference in someone else's life." Let me just ask you, aren't you ready for your life to count towards something? Aren't you ready for your life to matter for eternity? Aren't you ready to know that I'm going to begin again, and the fruit of it is going to be worth it, It may be hard, it may be difficulty, but I'm going to begin again because I know God wants to use me. And it's so easy for us to be distracted. Several years ago, my dad and I were going fishing, and we were actually supposed to be meeting the head football coach from my high school who was going to go fishing with us, which is sort of like a kind of like a local celebrity, you know, local high school football coach, and my small talent was anyway. So I was kind of juiced up for it, really excited to have coach come with us this day, and we're supposed to meet at the boat dock at 7 o'clock for like 2 hours from home at this particular place, and dad and I get there at 7 o'clock, rolls around, coach doesn't show up. 7:15, coach doesn't show up. 7:30, coach doesn't show up. This is before the days of cell phones. Yes, I am that old. You know, there's just, you know, so what do? I guess the good thing to do would be get in your car and go search for him and see what happened to him, but that's not what we did. We went fishing. And we came back in at noon, and there he was. Coach had finally gotten there. And we said, what's the deal? He said, man, I got 8 miles from here, but I was so afraid I was going to run out of fuel that I pulled into a gas station. I just ran in to get a drink, get a honey bun while I was pumping gas. When I was hanging up the hose, I realized I'd done something. I had filled up my diesel truck. Some of y'all know what he did. I had filled up my diesel truck from empty to full with gasoline. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, it kind of spit and sputtered across the street to this mechanic shop, and they'd had it all morning. You know the first thing they did on that diesel truck? They drained all the fuel. They said, you filled this thing up with the wrong fuel. Sometimes we spend our whole life filling it with the wrong fuel. But the resurrection reminds us Jesus has got better fuel for you. Your life can run on something it was intended to run on. The power of the resurrection, the power of God can be yours this morning. Jesus didn't just come out of the grave to set you free. He came to set you loose on a mission that is greater than your own mission. It's the mission of God. And He's calling you. Begin again. If you're a Christ follower today, but maybe you've lost course, begin again. If you're not a Jesus follower today, He's saying to you, I love you. It's time to begin. It's time to begin. Would you say that with me today? It's time to begin. Say it out loud this morning. It's time to begin. Come on, let's say it again. It's time to begin. The resurrection proves it's time. It's time to begin. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're in the room today. Say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I'm a sinner. Maybe you never came to Jesus. Maybe you came to Jesus years ago and your relationship with God has just been non-existent. It's dormant. You know, I am not right with the Lord. Can I tell you, it is time to begin. Jesus came out of the grave, and the first thing He set His course on was, hey, get Peter. I want the brokenness of his life to be restored. And this morning, His priority is the brokenness of your life to be restored today. Today, you're far from God. You know it. And today, you need to get on track with Him. You need to begin with Him today. Jesus desires to begin with you today, even if you're beginning again, like I did so many times. He's ready to do that. You're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with the Lord, but today I'm changing that. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me because I'm beginning today. I'm beginning today. Amen. Father, I'm thankful the Word says that if we are faithful to confess our sins, according to 1 John, that You are faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. God, I pray right now, as people are responding to the Spirit of God in their heart, Lord, You just give them the boldness and the courage to decide today they are going to live their life for You. Lord, they will make that prayer their prayer. They'll ask You to forgive them, set their life on following You. God, I know Your Holy Spirit's going to lead them every step of the way as they dive into a church and follow Your Word. Lord, do that today. Second category of people I want to pray for this morning are those in the room that you've been passionate, but you've been passionate about the wrong mission. You've been passionate about your mission. You've been passionate about missions that are, they're shadow missions. They're not the real mission for your life. The resurrection is a reminder. It's time to begin again. It's time to get back on track. It's time to let the power of God be your fuel. Stop accepting counterfeit fuels for your life. Jesus wants to flood your life with power this morning, the power of the resurrection. And I hope everyone in this place desires His power to be your power. So with that thought in mind, I want to ask everyone to stand with me today. And if you're willing, just lift both hands and say, Lord, fill me with resurrection power this morning. Fill me with resurrection power this morning. Come on, we're going to take the next few moments and just seek resurrection power personally all across this room. Lord, fill us today. Lord, You may need to empty of us. Lord, like the coach did, had to do with his pickup. God, empty us if necessary first. Lord, empty us first with all those other substitute missions and substitute fuels. But Lord, then fill us. Fill us with Your power. Fill us with the resurrection power. Lord, Your word says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can resonate, can live, can operate in us. Lord, use us for the purpose of God. Let us live on purpose, with a purpose, every moment of our life. Fill us and fill us. In Jesus' name, use us again. Would you help me close out this service with this prayer? Dear Jesus, use me again. Come on, say it again. Dear Jesus, use me again. Fill me again and use me again. Lord, as You did for Peter, use me again. Lord, I'm thankful You sought me out. Lord, You sought me out. You set me free, and then You used me again. Lord, do that this morning all across this room. You've sought us out. You've set us free. Now use us for Your kingdom purposes. Set us in the church of God for the purpose of God, for the kingdom of God. Lord, do it today. We love You, Jesus. We can live because You're alive. In Jesus' name. If you receive that today and believe that, will you give the Lord a hand clap for resurrection power? We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't let the power of the resurrection, don't let Easter be an event. Let it be a lifestyle. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.